leadership, and really leadership, guys, is you know, last week was a pitfall, kind of a two-part series we're doing, and we're recording it for training. Again, back to training. Training is the constant, you know, constantly listening to, over and over and over again, these calls, the content on the website. It's not just a one-time event. So this is going to be recorded. Listen to it over and over again. Guys, there's two aspects of the business, as we talk about all the time. There's the temporary income, and then there's a permanent. And what's different about us in our culture and our company is that, you know, Brandon and Casey are paving the way and fight every day. That's what they're fighting now, to set things up for us for the conference and pouring into that, investing in us to get a much different result in life. And the different result is not having to chase money, but have money chase us. So we have the luxury of time and money to enjoy with our families, our loved ones, to go on these trips together as a company, to something a lot greater than just having a job. Okay, and we're going to talk about that side of the business today, which is the permanent income, and which is setting yourself up for the permanent income so that, you don't have to, you can work your way out of a job. Because if you don't work towards working your way out of a job, all you ever have is a job, and I really think you're kind of wasting, you know, the opportunity here if you just treat it like a job. Now, you can. I mean, it's not a bad gig. You want to go out and sell a couple of days a week, and you get some time, and, you know, you're that's really all you want. That's fine. I mean, we're not discrediting that in any way. I just think that if you can provide that much more to your family, why wouldn't you? It's a choice, and you know, we choose to play big and have time and money and all that. So we're going to talk about that. And the title of today's call is really the pitfalls. There's five pitfalls of leadership, or kind of making that journey towards from temporary into permanent income. Now, let me just say this. We're talking about leadership, and we're going to talk kind of about some of the actions. But before I go into that, I really want to talk about being a leader, you know, the kind of the leadership checklist, and then what a leader does. But you can't do what a leader does if you don't have the leader attributes. Okay, and those attributes are, number one, there's five. So it's kind of an easy list today. You're talking about the five pitfalls and the five attributes of leadership, and you've gotta embody these five in order to make it through and get results on the journey, if that makes sense. Okay, and the five are, you guys are writing this stuff down, asking questions. I mean, just a tip before I get into it. On these calls, guys, seriously, like we do them. We don't do them every day. We just do them once a week, and we don't go 5 hours. We do an hour, and we do it because we really concentrate everything, and you can't possibly comprehend everything we're going to cover by listening to it one time or just sitting there listening to it, and hopefully you're not doing anything else in the background, and this is kind of like background music for you, is that write this stuff down, generate questions, and then right after the call, your mentor's phone should be blowing up. You should be calling them saying, man, got a lot on the call. I had some questions. I really need to get my head around this. That's how you, but if you're not actively on the call and actively kind of developing yourself and working on yourself on the call, and you're not chasing your mentor after with, man, can you help me out with this, what they were talking about on this and that, then it's really not making a difference for you. Okay? And the whole idea is to add value, make a difference, to get you to a spot in your life you've never been. So, five attributes. Number one is listen. Okay? You've got to be a listener, meaning are you operating on the thought process of your mentor who's been where you want to be or been where you are and is where they are now and is where you want to be and sees around the corners and has the hindsight that you don't have? Are you operating on their thought process, or are you making decisions on your own with your thought process? Are you saying things like, I thought, or here's what I was thinking, instead of, what do you think I should do? Here's where I want to be. What should I be doing? Where should I be going? How should I be acting? So whose thought process? So listening means you're operating on a thought process of somebody ahead of you, your coach, your mentor, okay? Number two is you work, meaning when you have that dialogue with your leader and they say, here's how you get there, here's the plan, you actually execute the plan, okay, whether it's comfortable or not, and hope for it to be out of your comfort zone, okay? Hope for it to be out of your comfort zone, because that's when you're growing. Not in your comfort zone, you're growing out of your comfort zone. So So are you working? So are you taking the plan from your mentor and are you executing it without changing it? Number three, are you getting results? Okay, so there's a difference between being a leader and just being a producer or a winner, kind of you're progressing into it where now you've, through constant work and counsel, you're now able to get results on your own, meaning you're able to convert your leads into your 10, 12 prime-time appointments. You're able to convert those 10, 12 prime-time appointments into $5,000 of clean issued business without dropping the ball. So can you get results on your own? Fourth is, do you stay plugged in? Because here's what tends to happen, guys. We get some results. We think we know what we're doing. And we stop plugging in and we start kind of waning off our communication with our mentor. And that's when we start going backwards. So as you start getting these results on your own, don't become more independent. Become more codependent, because we're all codependent. That's a good thing. You don't want to be an independent. I don't know, Edward, have you seen what those independent career agents look like? Have they ever come across your office looking for their 19th rodeo?
Yep.
Do you really want to look like that?
Not in my lifetime.
Not me, man. That motivates me every day. Brian talked about waking up scared. I wake up scared every day. I never want to be that guy. Okay? You don't want to be independent. It's overrated. It's nonsense. You want to be codependent, people that got your back. Okay? So stay plugged in. Are you staying plugged in? Are you plugging in even tighter? Are you more open than you were early on, even though you're a lot more competent? And then five, do you handle all negative? Guys, we all have drama. We all have personal problems. I mean, the only ones that don't, they're not with us anymore. And it's not the problems you have, it's how you respond to the problems. And how you respond determines if it's a problem or not. I was talking to one of our leaders earlier just about, you know, handling drama. And if it's nonsense, never engage in crazy with a crazy person. If somebody's crazy, you kind of get with crazy people, I kind of get apathetic. They're like screaming, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're right, man. Well, okay. Because I don't care. They're crazy. So how do you respond to your life? It's not what happens in your life. It's how do you respond. And do you respond or do you react? Do you react and kind of go in a corner and live and kill yourself and kind of limit your activity and your community and just kind of lose the day? Or do you handle it and move on? Okay, so there's five. Listen, work, stay plugged, get results on your own, stay plugged in, handle all negative. That's going to kind of be the prerequisite to the journey. You've got to be that person living that to then go on the journey we're going to talk about right now. Anything you want to add to that, Mr. Pritchett?
I mean, it's the people who commit to that for a little while, because I see people we talk about in LWAC, the last, the C stands for changing, and you see a lot of people change for, and I'm sure you've seen this, Ed, they change for a week or 2 weeks, right? And then next thing, you turn your head around and they're back to doing the same old thing. Like, change is supposed to be, it's a permanent impermanence. Like, you're changing, it's a continual change, but you never want to slip back down to where you were. If you've made the change, hold on to that and then grow to change more towards, you know, what your mentor's mindset is like or the people that you want to be like. So those five things that you just listed there, it's nice if you do it for a week, but we're not in this for a week. And I think a lot of people lose that focus and that they make the change and then, you know, start slipping back. So what Ed's talking about there, you know, you make those changes and you do those things and then you do those consistently and continually. And that's how we get the results that we're looking for long term. That's about all I'd want to add to that.
Yeah, man, I look at you and I just like you model exactly what we all kind of want. I mean, like you were saying, who's the ideal? Like, you model it, you change and you stay on it, and you don't quit the process. And that's, I mean, you started in the bass shop from a producer, now 200,000. It's just, and not taken away from you, but if you could do it, others can do it, man, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any one of us is magic. We stay the course and we keep applying the heat. And yeah, it's not backing away from it. It's engaging in it, because once we start operating on our own thought process and stop changing, then we are who we are. And this business is just a mirror. It's not magic. It's like it's a great vehicle, but it's a mirror. So how you look and who you are is just going to reflect that. So when you change, everything changes. So number one pitfall of leadership, okay? Write this down, guys. Not starting. So this would be like a pitfall. So you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. So you're not starting with the end in mind. Meaning, I hope a lot of you guys are on the call that one of our partners, Brian Pope, and Brian doesn't like to talk. I mean, he doesn't like to talk about some of his accomplishments. And yeah, we'll do that. But I mean, he's been making about $10 million a year since he was like 35. Now I think he's what, 45, 46. He sold his first company for 38 at age 38 for $45 million. So I don't know if you guys knew like that. He's a big player, like one of the probably top five players in the whole industry in the country. Like not so. I mean, it's he doesn't give himself the credit. His humility, he doesn't give himself the credit that he deserves sometimes. But man, just accomplished some amazing things. And one of the things he said on the call was, he goes, I knew exactly how it, like asking him like, how'd you get from here to there, there to here. It's like I knew exactly what I wanted and how it would look before I had it, and I just worked it and got it. And when I got it and I got to the first step and the second, I wasn't ever surprised. Like people were saying, man, do you realize, you know, what you got and where you are? And they expect him to be all excited. And he's like, I already knew it. I saw it. I was just doing what I saw in my mind. And that's everything. That's a universal thing. So you got to see it in your mind before it's going to happen in reality. And the question is, what do you see and what are you fighting for? And how specific are you? Like, if the goal is permanent income, well, then what is permanent income? Permanent income is a structure that doesn't depend on you every day, day in, day out. So you can go away for a month, and your results won't stop. They won't, like Ray Kroc had structure. Like, Ray Kroc, he's been dead now 30 years, and he's made more money since he's been dead than when he was alive, because he knew exactly what he was setting up, and there was structure, and it's permanent. So if we go about this business like building a house and banging a bunch of 2x4s together, and just the activity of carpentry, let's say, that's my, if I just kind of just cutting wood and nailing things together, I'm just kind of a big pile of wooden nails. And that's kind of what I see happen, a big pitfall, kind of looking back on people that just try to make the run, is they don't really specifically know what they're putting together. They're just kind of going through the motions. And guys, you got to be specific. Like, here, permanent income, and I don't have a board in front of me or draw it out for you, but it basically it's having leaders in place in a specific hierarchy in your organization. It's a width and depth structure, meaning you have leaders under leaders under leaders, and some leaders direct to you, where you've got teams and pockets of teams that are led by the right people that you've helped develop that are sustainable. Okay, so it kind of looks like I've got my strongest leg, which is a leader who's developed a leader who's got a leader. So that leg, you've got all this leadership there, and you've got mass. And then the next leg is a leader and a leader. So a leader developing a leader, and the next couple legs are some direct leaders to me that have their own shop. So it's like I've got these five teams that are doing at least $50,000 a month, right? I've got these in depth, and I've got a couple direct teams. So one hierarchy is doing $200,000, another one's doing $100,000. Then I've got two that are doing $50,000. So when you put that together, it's a $400,000, which 10-12% is always going to be your, just say 10% is a conservative. You're making $40,000 a month secure, which is $500,000 a year. Like, that's how my business is. Like, I've got a template, Edward, where I've got it drawn out exactly how I want it to look, and then I've got, so I've got the blueprint of what will be, and then I've got the drawing. We talk about drawing your group out all the time. The drawing of what is. And every day, like right now, I'm always looking at it. I'm always drawing it out. I'm looking at what I'm building, the blueprint, like a project manager, right? And then I'm looking at what is, saying, here's where we are. here's where we need to be for phase one of the development. It's like I'm a developer. Got phase one. Here's what phase one looks like finished. Like if you're going to go buy a house pre-construction, like we bought this house, we built pre-construction, we went in, there was a model, a couple models, different models, and there's all these lots, okay? It's all laid out right there in the sales, okay, in the sales office there, one of the models. Everybody, you kind of look around, and you got blueprints. Some houses, models weren't built of the certain models. You look at them, and you pick it out. It's like, okay, this is where we're going to put the house. This is the lot we want. Here's the house we want. Then you sit with a design person, and you design upgrades, and they're upselling you. And here's where we are. Here's where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a business together or anything permanent if you're not that specific. So again, a big mistake I see is that we kind of just do a bunch of activity and hope for the best instead of knowing what we're fighting for, looking at where we are, and doing specific activity. Like would you pour the slab after you put the roof trusses on? Is that the way you do a house? Everybody, you kind of...
Nope.
Imagine if I poured the slab and then I decided to do the plumbing. That's bad, right? Because I think they kind of do the plumbing first and they pour the slab. Guys, know the... Now, obviously, I know a lot of you guys, like, it's, well, what does it look like? You should be getting with your mentor every day. Like, here's where you need to be to be a phase one, which is phase one to us and permanent with this structure is going to be $40,000 a month, $10,000 a week, permanent, which means it doesn't require you selling or you being every day in your business. You can go away and not worry about it, okay? So here's where you are. Here's how we get here. Does that make sense, Edward? Anything you kind of seen on that, like kind of some mistakes and some where people just kind of done some, like a flurry of activity, but not really knowing what they're putting together?
We talked about making a mess because when you're first getting started, you may not be able to attract the attention of your mentor, your growing mentor, if you don't have a mess that he can work with. If there's not some, you were using the analogy of a house, Ed, you got to have some lumber there. You got to have some concrete. You got to have some nails, some screws. You have to have some materials before you start building. So there is that situation where you got to make sure that you have the tools or have access to the materials that you need to build what you want to build. And so that's how we talk about, you know, getting your mentor's attention, you know, to generate some activity, make a mess. But before you get, once you do that, then it's, okay, I made some mess. Here's my raw materials. Now, you know, before we start at the actual building phase, let's sit down and draw up that game plan. I see a lot of people who they start making a mess, and then there's a lot of lack of counsel. Everybody wants to do it themselves. You know, I'm the one who hired this person. This is my the wonderful video. You know, I got a guy. You know, they have that guy or those guys or gals, and you know they're going to do it. They're going to run with them. They're going to show them how to put everything together. You know, you don't have the plan. Your mentor, they are very much invested in your success. They want to see you succeed and succeed extravagantly. So you want to be able to have the tools, have the materials there, but then go and make sure, as they're talking about, draw it out. See where your phase one is going to be. See where do you want to be at phase two? Where does phase three lead you? And then what is that final phase? What does the house look like when you're done? Does that make sense?
Yeah, man, you got the vision in your mind, and we're kind of all subcontractors, and we've got the general that is supervising. Your mentor is a general. He knows how it's going to look, and you've got to understand your role is that, you know, there's times when you're going to be the sub, and then you're going to work into the general, but know that we've got the structure, we've got your back, and with the end in mind, know what you're fighting for. You know what you're fighting for, and you kind of got to believe. Like I know it took Brian several years. And now we've got it down to man. And within a couple building cycles, you could be out of the field at a six-figure plus income and on your way to multiple with depth, which means you've got that structure and it doesn't rely on again you. Because there's two types of permanent. There's the we can call it the override income, but if the structure's not right, it's still kind of like a job because it requires you too much. And there's enough when there's enough depth and structure, it doesn't require you day to day. That's a magical point in life when you've got that and you've got all that time and money and you're not worried about things going sideways or backwards because the structure's there. So again, the end in mind, it's belief is a big part of it. It's faith. It's understanding that again, your mentor's got your back, just as Brandon and Casey Bryan, they've got ours. And it's just engaging in that activity, knowing how it's going to look and believing it and just working it. So that's number one. Number two, pitfall, unrealistic expectations that violate the universal law. Unrealistic expectations. What's a universal law, guys? It's the 80-20 rule. Okay? Everything is 80-20. It just is. I mean, it's a human equation. It's the human organic equation. Of course, there could be an artificial. Like, what's artificial? Like, if we paid people appearance fees, look, if you come in for the interview, I'll give you $10. And if you show up for every time you show up to the office, I'll give you $50. Like, we could make it artificial. Okay? But we're not in the artificial game. It's kind of like you've got to be the right person. We don't artificially create the right people. It's not a W-2 where you're a staff person. I mean, if you want the upside, you want all that, it's an organic game. So that being said, the organic human equation is the 80-20 rule, which states that 20% of what I do, 20% of my numbers will be real or will count, will show up, and 80% won't. So if I set 10 interviews, even though I set those 10 interviews, and I can have some great interviews. We've all learned this. Like, I'll have a great interview with 10 great interviews, and it went well, and they're fired up, and, man, they come back and say, this sounds great. I'll see you on Friday at 12 o'clock. It's still they won't show. Only 2 of 10 will show. And it's not trying to beat the numbers or not saying, man, I'm really discouraged, not being let down based on the average. Just like in the field. Guys, we know we get $300 to $400, or we'll say $350 of production per appointment. So if I've got 10 appointments, as much as I want to write $5,000, $10,000, I'll probably write $3,000 to $4,000, maybe $3,500, $3,000, $2,800. You know, even though I have 15, even though I want more, that's the number. So in leadership and building, I think if we kind of set 10 and we expect 10 to show up and we think we've made it, 10 guys is only 2. And here's the other side of that. Of those 2, how many actually will make it to 5 times, meaning that will be part of the team? To really be part of the team, you've got to show up for the interview, and you've got to show up in the office 5 more times, show us you're serious, and then you're in the team, and you go from intern to associate. So, guys, it's 80-20, 80-20. So it's really, it's 4%. Because if I book in 10 interviews, 2 show up. Let's do it in a larger sample. Well, let's do it with 10. You'll see how that works. If I book in 10 interviews, 2 will show up on Friday, and 20% of that, which is 0.4%, or 4/10 of a person, 40% of a person, less than half a person, a candidate, will actually be on my team, on my drawing. And obviously it makes no sense because I can't have half a person. So if I want a shot at anything, I need 25. Meaning if I book in 25 interviews, 5 will show, and then 1 will be on my roster. Okay, so if I want 5 people to work with, I need to set 125 interviews. And I see happen all the time, Edward, where like somebody goes out there, they're all fired up. They get off a conference call. They just get in the mood, man. They hear, man, I really want that. I really want to be a leader, man. I'm just... You know, they have a bad day in the field. They say, I got to get out of the field, man. I got to get into leadership. And they go out for a week, and they set 12 interviews. Okay? Set 12. 2 show up on Friday. Nobody on Saturday. They say, oh, man. Man, I tried. And they quit. Guys, if your expectations are in line, you won't get depressed. Because, see, I just think that happiness or sadness is just a function of your expectation. Did you hit it? Then you're good. You're fine. Okay, so make sure your expectations are in line and it's 80-20. So for every person I want in the pipeline that I want to be coaching and mentoring, I need to put 25 interviews on the calendar. And here's another thing, guys. It's not linear, meaning it's not exactly like every 25 interviews. You might go your first 75 interviews and be on the wrong side of the average. And then the next 75, you're on the right. Now the average owes you. Understand how the average works. Like if I flip a quarter 10 times, okay, probability statistically it should be 50-50. Every other time should be heads. Every other time should be tails. But I flip it 10 times, I might get 8 heads and 2 tails. I'm like, man, where are the tails on this quarter? Guys, it's statistically, so when you're on the wrong side of the average, understand it's okay, because you'll also be on the right side of the average, where now the average owes you, and the next 75 yields you 6 trainees instead of 3. But here's the thing, though, Everett, if I do just do my 25 or just do my 50 or just do 75 and I get nothing and I quit, I never get to the right side of the average. And then I get fired up, 120 days from now, man, I'm going to go back at it, come out of the conference. I'm committing to building. Come out of conference, put another 25, 50, same thing happens, because now the average forgets me, right? Like the average owed me, now the average forgot about me. And I'm constantly trying to just get ahead of steam or get momentum, where you just got to know the numbers, keep your head down, and know that the numbers can never beat you. As long as you're putting your head down, you stay the course, you're always going to get it. Okay, in that belief. Have you seen that, Edward? Or what have you seen on the numbers and kind of setting your expectations for yourself, your team?
Yeah, well, the numbers, the one thing that we found is that the numbers just don't lie. Like, if you put in the numbers, as you're saying, the average, whether you're getting the numbers on the front end, the middle, or the back end, the average is always going to work out for you. And I think the biggest thing is the easiest person to lie to always is yourself. You know, I see some of these guys who, and I made, 100 dials, and, I booked in 70 interviews and I got 20 people coming in, but if the numbers aren't true and accurate, like, be true to yourself. I think that's a pretty old saying there, right? Be true to yourself, to thine own self, be true, right?
So I think it's Old Testament, isn't it?
It goes back a little ways. I know that, but the numbers are there. We talk about the numbers a lot, so it's not like anybody doesn't know at this point in time. If you don't know what the 80-20 rule is, this is probably like your first or second conference call, right? If you haven't heard the numbers of if you want 5, get 7, like if you don't know those numbers, keep plugging in and you'll know the exact numbers. And for those of us who do, it's preparing ourselves mentally, saying, okay, if I'm getting excited about booking 10 interviews in for Friday, let me temper that excitement, because I know what I need to get to have the numbers show up that I want to have. Like, be prepared mentally for that, and don't lie to yourself. Like, do the actual work based on the actual numbers, not the numbers that you concoct in your head. I like what you were talking about there with, you had these 10 great people, man, they're fired up, they're excited, they responded back to my corporate overview. All 10 of these guys are going to be here. And do you want to play by the exception, or do you want to play by the rule? Like, do you want to fight gravity, or do you just accept gravity and do the things that gravity dictates? So you just go jump off the bridge and say, I can beat gravity today. Like that's not a risk I want to take. I want to take risk, but I want to take calculated risk. Right, Ed?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that'd be foolish, right? Just trust gravity. Like, why does why really matter? Like, does it really matter why the 80-20 rule exists? It just is. Who cares? It's like, does gravity, does it matter why? It just is what it is, man. If it's hot, you're gonna burn yourself. Well, why? I don't know. Who cares why? Doesn't matter. Here's the good news, though. I'm not trying to depress you guys with the numbers. Is that how many does it really take to replace me? Think about it. Like, if I'm on a 20-point override, starting contract is 60, 20% times 3 is 60. All I got to do is find 3 that do what I do, and they could do what I do if they listen to what I do and they do what I do. Then I replace myself. Like, that, all it takes is 3. So the good news is that it's small numbers to get free. But it's big numbers to find the small numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a formula. Math is not an opinion, is it? It's not an opinion. Opinions are opinions. Stories are opinions. Math is not an opinion. So have a realistic expectation. Don't violate them. And put the number. It's the law of large numbers, not the law of small numbers. Put a big sample. I love statistics in college. I don't know why. I just love that course because it removed any like mystery out of life. Right? It's just like it's all probability. So if I know the laws and I understand statistics, then it takes me out of it, which I love. It's like it's not random. It's not about luck. It's not about, man, am I saying the right thing? It's numbers. So number 2, unrealistic expectation, violate universal law. Number 3, loss of focus on the task at hand. Loss of focus on the task at hand. I get asked this a lot, Edward. You get asked this a lot. Like, how do you balance? How do you balance in production and building? How do you balance it? How do you do that? What should I be focusing on? And the answer is both. Both. It's about compartmentalization. You've got to be really good at being in the moment and compartmentalizing and prioritizing what should be prioritized when it should be prioritized. So it's very simple in our model. Saturday and Sunday and Monday are the activities that generate our present income. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Saturday morning we're on the phones. Sunday and Monday night, prime time, we see our clients. So I'm not even thinking about building and planting seeds and farming on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Just focused on generating my revenue. So if you're a producer and it's on you still, all I'm focusing on is my clients, adding more to my calendar, being smart, getting out in the field early, being prepared, professional. Okay, pack calendar, no less than 5 a night in prime time, and getting results. Okay, if I'm a leader and I'm not dependent on my own pen, I'm making sure my team's equipped, focused, intentional, specific, and I'm there for them from the table. That's money time. That's present time. Okay? And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm focused on my future, which is planting seeds, which is the interview process, which is checking interest, candidates, putting them on the calendar, working the number, the 80-20 we just talked about, keeping my head down. If I get the job done in both compartments, then I get the outcome, which is working towards being free. If I can't get the job done, what do you think I'm going to neglect first, Edward? Am I going to neglect my future or my present?
More than likely, you're going to neglect your present. And then
future.
There won't be a future.
Well, yeah, the future, right? Like, if I'm going to, if I don't get the job done in the present, and I'm not making money, then making money, my life is right in front of my face, and that's all I'm focused on in the fury. And I spend the whole week chasing production. The problem is you're so less effective chasing production all week than you are just getting it done in 2 days. So now I'm spending every day trying to chase clients, and I don't plant any future seeds. Plus, I mean, now I'm tired. I just spent the whole week chasing 3,000 in premium. Because I'll tell you this, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sure you do. Fridays, that's the most exciting. That's my favorite day of the week, man. Coming in the office Friday, coming in, 10 o'clock, we do a meeting, and just and then all these new people, potential, you know, bright spots in the organization, right? Just potential future, right? Just all this potential comes in, and it's like if we're interviews and we're assessing, man, who are we excited about, who not so much, and it's our future. It's more bright spots. It's the future. It's the future, and that's exciting. And if you're not participating in that because you chase premium all week, then you're sitting around the table. You can't be excited because none of it's for your, it's like you do the work all week setting up Friday, and now all the fruits of your labor is all this hope and anticipation of a different result in the future. Man, Fridays are everything, and the thing is they charge you up to be that much more productive. So when you win, it's crazy how when you win in one area, you win in the other, and you keep winning. If you lose in one area, you lose in the other, and it's hard to win. So if you win in the compartments, if you win on the present, you just handle your field business. Those 2 days a week, just get it done. In prime time, you work smart. Okay, you take control, you get better. Then you have that. You can participate. You know, you can go all in on the future come, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that fuels your present for the next week. It's just kind of a, it's just a momentum builder. And you're building week after week after week on this. And then what happens is it takes a lot less of you in the field once you start getting people through the pipe and out in the field, because now you've got all these producers and you're not starting at zero anymore. You're starting at 1,000 a week, 500 a week, 2,000, 3,000, pick a number. Okay, so it's compartmentalizing. It's handling your business when you should be handling it in those two compartments. Any thoughts on that, Edward?
Yeah, well, I think it, and this goes back to one of the things we talk about a lot, is the way to help you keep your focus. Like, if you're not disciplined enough to just keep your focus, and I hate to say it, but I don't think anybody really is without what I'm getting ready to say, is you got to have a schedule. You know, I know you have one, I have one. Brian Pope has a schedule. They've actually furnished us one that has our work week set aside, broken down hour by hour. So if you're going to focus on something, you probably want to schedule what you're focusing on, right? So if you know Saturday morning is, you know, you're on the phone, that time is scheduled. If you know Sunday and Monday evening you're in the field, those are scheduled. They're blocked off in your schedule. I have where I know, and my team knows, most importantly, the hours that I'm going to be on the phone doing interview calls. Then I have my follow-up time and the time that I meet with my assistant. And, like, each of those times that when I'm focusing on either my present or my future, like, for me now, I have a time scheduled for when I know I have to have my phone available because I have guys out in the field that are going to be calling me. If you don't have it scheduled, it's like, well, I don't want to schedule. Well, if you don't want to schedule, you're probably going to be pretty broke about 2 or 3 years from now. It's not, well, probably already are right now, but like, the people who have their time very well scheduled, you look at the most powerful, successful, influential people in this country, in this world, they have very, very strict schedules, and they stick to it. So if you want to know, how can I focus more on, you know, my now, and how can I focus on my future, schedule it. If you schedule it and you stick to it, then you'll be able to focus where you need to be at the time that you need to be doing it.
And, you know, people know your schedule, too. Like, you tell them, look, this is, I can't. They know your schedule because they try to get, so like, I'm doing this, and this time. So I do a lot of scheduled calls to make sure I can talk to the emerging leaders that you know, are embodying leadership with us. And I schedule it. You schedule interviews. Like, my assistant loads me up every day. I got to pack. I mean, it keeps me working, right? Like, it just, you got to, the schedule becomes the routine. The routine becomes the habit, and the habits will make or break us. So it's a progression into continuity and being consistent. You cannot make this. You can never make it as a leader if you're inconsistent, ever. You might get lucky, you know, once in a while as a salesperson with erratic kind of behavior, but never as a builder, because it takes constant, consistent application of the right activities. And it's prioritizing too, man. When things pop up, somebody tries to challenge your schedule, Edward, you're like, you don't even answer the phone. Right?
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, we got to get away from this answering the phone when it rings thing. We don't need to answer it when it rings. We don't need to disrupt our lives. And we answer the phone. We know they called. I don't even check voicemails. I mean, because they're a waste, right? Either it's I see you called me, and I decide if I should call you back, or text or email or something, and then reply when I get onto that part of the day. So it's compartmentalizing that too. It's like, here's when I'll return emails. Here's when I. You know, here's when I'll return those calls. Here's when I can allocate the time for that, and it's key. Otherwise, you're giving your schedule away. You'll never own it, and you'll never own the result. So, good stuff, man. Thank you. Number four, not knowing your numbers. We're a little over, guys, but this is important stuff. We'll probably wrap up in about 10 minutes. So, Hang with us. You don't want to miss this stuff. Not knowing your numbers and what really counts. Okay? Two metrics in my business that really that my whole business boils down to, which is my present income is based on how many appointments we set on a Saturday. Okay? That's the number. So I like to use 300, even though sometimes it gusts to 400, Ed, but I like, be conservative in your business with your numbers. Okay? Be conservative, meaning work the low side of the average. Okay? So if you can get 30% of your people to show up for interviews, good for you, but use 20. You're getting 500 in premium per appointment, good for you. Here's the thing about the numbers, though, guys. The bigger you get, okay, the bigger you get, the truer the average. Okay, so if the average is 300, you might be small right now, you and three other writers, and you can get set. Man, we're smoking that. We get 800 a point. We're really good. Okay, well, that's when you're small, okay? But when you get bigger, it's you got to look at that true number, which I use 300. That's the average, okay? So I know this. If we're going to write 60,000, we got to do 200, and 200 will guarantee 60,000. If I want to do 100,000 a week, Edward, okay, I need like 350 appointments. That's just the number. We hit 350 appointments, we do 100,000. So it's real simple. So if we set 100, we do 30. 50, you do 15. That's the number. So the first main metric, my present income, is based on that number one metric, which is how many appointments did my phone teams set on Saturday. And the next metric is how many interviews did my hierarchy put on the calendar for the Friday and for the offices on Friday. And that will determine my future. Okay, that was so if we're putting on 50 interviews, okay, then I know 50 interviews is going to get me about 2 in the pipeline. And I've got 30 associates out there. So if I want to grow, I need my pipeline to be bigger than my growth is when your pipeline exceeds, your interns exceed your associates. So you've got more that aren't in the field than are in the field. That means you're growing. When you have less in the pipe than are in the field, that means you're maintaining or shrinking. And if you got no pipe, that means you're shrinking or dying. Okay? So I'm always looking at, all right, well, I need 50 writers, which means I better get a pipe of 50. Okay, so 50 is 1,000 interviews a week on the calendar. Okay, so like I just know these numbers. So understand that metric there on the interviews is going to create your run rate, your recruiting run rate, and of course recruiting run rate creates new writer run rate, and new writers create obviously unique writers, and that's how you grow. That's how you kind of ramp your production up. So those two metrics there are how many appointments did we set and how many interviews are on the calendar on Friday. Okay, those are the key things. Those are my numbers on the results side, on the activity side. Then I've got my results. Is you've got to know your profitability. How much am I spending on leads? Okay, what other expenses do I have? What percentage of it is my gross? What's my gross revenue? Okay, what's my issue rate? I don't think any of us are too big to not know what's going on with every case. Now, like Edward, you and me, we use. We're assisted. So, like my assistant, she sends me, every time she processes a case, she'll send me a big spreadsheet with all the cases on it. And we write most of our business with one main carrier because they get the most issued, and we've got the most control with them, which is what you want. You want control of your business. I don't want to throw it to a mega carrier that I get lost in a shuffle with 92 other IMOs. So we got control. So I've got relationships with underwriters. So I know where. It doesn't take like one. I can work like 10 cases at a time, but I get a glance at it. I glance at the reporting on the company's website, and I know exactly where the cases are, so I can control my issue rate, so I can make sure I can get 90% plus of my business issued. And Edward, I'm kind of fanatical. If something gets declined, I call up and I know why, and I find out, and I'll either challenge the insurance company or I'll challenge the agent. I personally do that. I think it's extremely important to me to find out how did we miss that? Because if we know it's going to be declined in the office, we don't even send it up. we tell the agent, go write another product because this isn't going to fit. But if it looked like it fit and we submitted it after scrubbing and it still got declined, we're digging in with the company and the agent. We're fixing it. Like, that's a very important number, issue rate, because my issue rate is a huge factor in my profitability. Lapse rate. Man, if I get a notice, something, you better get out there and see the client and save that case. Like, it's this kind of stuff is key. So if you're not, like, diligent, you're not on top of your numbers, you don't know your profitability, you should have a report. Like, we got spreadsheets that say, okay, here's what came in, here's what the expenses were, here's what we netted, okay? And your net, you know, a lot of us are here because we're netting a lot more money than we were in a practice company. So, like, netting is important. You know, I'm netting now 70% versus netting 20%. Like, it's important. What are you netting? So know your numbers, know your profitability, know your key metrics, okay, and focus on expanding them, okay, and if they're off, correcting them. You with me, Mr. Pritchard? That makes sense?
That makes perfect sense. It's kind of like what Brandon was talking about on a call a few weeks back about treating it like a business. You know, what business owner do you know, let me rephrase that, what successful business owner do you know that doesn't have a set of books, doesn't keep track of inventory, doesn't keep track of when they, like, if the employees can just come in and clock in whenever they want to and, you know, just get paid based on their word. Like, no successful business owner does that. So why would we think that we're going to challenge that particular paradigm when it comes to our, and let me phrase this right, our business? Like, this is your business. This is not your job. This is your business. If you don't know your numbers, if you're not tracking your numbers, what are you here for? There's a lot of jobs. If that's what you're looking for, there's a lot of jobs out there that you can go and find. But
if you can't handle your business, somebody will handle your business. And that's kind of how it goes, right? Like, if you can't handle it, then you lose the privilege of being in business. And when you lose a privilege, you have to work in somebody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all here to not work in somebody else's business and make them a bunch of money and give our life and time away for pennies. Like, that's, yet if I don't manage my business, I don't have a business, and I must work for a business. So yeah, know your, and even if it's, you're just a, I say just, I don't want to de-edify, if you're at the production stage where it's all on you, it's you, know your numbers. Here's how much I wrote, here's what got issued, here's what I spent on leads, here's what I spent on gas, and if the numbers are not, you know, you're not rolling and covering your overhead, fix your problem. Get, you know, you're not counseling enough, you're not, like, what are you doing? Like, are you calling your mentor up just so they can hear what you have to say and you're not listening? Like, get help. We're here to help you, because if you're not profitable, we aren't. So, you know, be crazy about that stuff, guys. I mean, number one rule of staying in business is staying in business. Number one rule of business is staying in business. So know your numbers. Number five, pitfalls of leadership, quitting the 90-day growth cycle, quitting the cycle. You know, I like to kind of use the analogy of, like, boiling water. Like, you take that room temperature water, and it depends on the room, but I like my room about 60. I like it cold ever, so I keep the office about 68 degrees, nice and cool. So my room temperature is 68-degree water. I got to take that water, and I got to take it from 68 degrees. I got to heat it all the way up to 212 degrees. And the bigger the pot, the more water I put in there, the longer it takes, right? So the bigger game I'm playing, man, the longer it's, the more heat, and the longer the heat's got to be applied. Like, here's the thing about the water. It's 68 degrees. I don't put a thermometer in there, you can put a thermometer in there. But it's going to look the same, and it does look the same at 68, at 98, 118, 148, 178, 198. You might get a little bit of bubbling, about 200. But at 212, all of a sudden, it's rolling, man. You got a rolling boil going, okay? I think a lot, everybody wants to be free. Everybody says, yeah, man, I want permanent. You got a choice, temporary, permanent, okay? And they take that water, they put a little heat on there, they get that water up to about 110 degrees and say, man, I've been putting the heat on this water. I've been working this thing, man. I got nothing to show for it, man. That water looks the same. I'm not making any over. I have nobody in the office. I got nobody here. Yeah, man, that's the way it should be. That's not. It shouldn't be that way. That's the way it should be. Okay, it's the way it should be. No, yes, that's it. Okay, I put more heat on, man. Okay, works another 2 weeks, man. Takes that water up to 130 degrees. It's still, man, still no results. Okay? Still no results, man. I can't. I'm putting all this time in, man. I spent 22 hours, man. I made 400 phone calls last week. Well, man, that's what happens. And they quit this. They quit the process, man. They quit and they go back and they let off the heat. What happens when you let off the heat? The water starts cooling down back to room temperature. They get fired up again, maybe post-conference call, post-conference, an epiphany in their life, I don't know, something. They get fired up and they put a little heat on it again, heat that water up to 120, take the heat off again. Guys, it's constant heat for 90 days. Our growth cycle is 90 days, and we talked about it earlier, talking about the numbers, the average not being linear. You might not get anything your first 70 days in ADA. It's expect that, but in the 90th day, all of a sudden, it seems like, it's not, but it seems like you've gone from nothing to a bunch of things happening overnight. It seems like you're an overnight success, and you're not. It's just like the water. It seems like, man, it was still a moment ago. Now it's bubbling like crazy. That's how it goes. Okay, so taking your foot off the gas and kind of dropping that heat, not putting that constant heat on there and keeping that heat on there, that's what happens, guys. You can't go backwards ever, and I see it so often is that we're just repeating our 90-day cycle over and over again. We never get anything going because we take the heat off. Yeah, have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of sad to see those guys who, you know, they get that one or two. Like, they get a couple bubbles in the water, and that's when they decide to take the heat off, you know. I can see a couple. Oh, it's getting ready to boil, so let me back off and let me work with those bubbles. Let me coax those bubbles to start coming up and rising. And then, you know, 120 days later, those two bubbles have disappeared. And it's keeping that consistent heat, that consistent pressure for the required amount of time. It's not a suggested amount of time. That's the required amount of time. And if you don't do that and don't do everything within those 90 days that you're supposed to do, we were talking about, you know, unrealistic expectations earlier. Like, if you're not doing it for 90 days, don't be expecting at the end of 90 days, well, I did half of it. Well, you didn't put all the change into the machine, so you're not getting a coke out, right? Like, you got to put 100% in for the required period of time.
You know, it's just constant, man. It's just commitment to continuity.
Yep.
Pitfall. Well, guys, we covered a lot. Again, I know we recorded this, and I hope this helped. You took some notes, and just stay the course, and don't let these things trip you up. And when they don't, and you stay the course, it's amazing. And you know what happens, Edward, is once you get to the kind of the other side for the first time, you're like, man, everything you guys were saying is, I got it. I acted on faith, and we all agree on this side of the fence, right? We all agree.
Yeah.
Like, we all agree. It's like, yeah, we all agree that it's the, you know, this is, that it's right. But if you're not here yet, you don't know. You'll agree with us, but just get here once. All you got to do is just go through one 90-day cycle. Just get here once, and you're changed forever for the good. Just get here once. Just put 90 days, put your head down, get here once. If you're not registered for the conference in August, God, just do it today. Get it done. Commit to it. And start your 90-day cycle right now. Get crazy about it. Your madman cycle, we call it. 90-day madman. Just get nuts. You know, we've got about 2 months to conference and two and a half, so you'll be in that 70th day of your just starting to boil. Get crazy now about it and get through it one time. And that's all it takes. And then kind of permanently you're on this side of the fence. And life is different on this side. It really is. Well, Mr. Pritchett, thanks so much, man, for being a co-host.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome stuff. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Pam, for the announcements earlier. And, guys, hopefully you added some value to this help. It is now Wednesday, so we're in the midst of the building compartment. Let's make this our biggest Friday ever in all our offices. So let's attack. I don't know what happened, Gribble. I don't know if you saw this too, Edward, but there seemed to be a ridiculous infusion of resumes. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you know what happened?
Yeah, I know what happened. If you want to give me a call, I'll tell you what was going on with that.
Are they brand new? I'll call you.
No, they're not brand new.
Okay, because I'm also there's like thousands that just posted in the last one. Like, man, AJ's applying. It's summertime. So I was fired up, man, for a minute. But there's still 77 million there. So let's get crazy with them. Let's get crazy with warm market. Craigslist is blowing up, guys. There's so many people out there underemployed that need us. So let's attack. Let's get them all in on Friday. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you.